It's Paul Smolin, MD, your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions, he has answers. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
Dr. Paul Smolin here, your PEDcast host. Thanks a lot for joining us today. Now, winter's coming up. That means sickness. Lots of germs moving around. So we want to keep our parents as well as our children as healthy as possible this winter. So I've brought back Dr. Sheila Kilbane, our integrative pediatrician consultant at doxmo.com, who's going to give us her view on staying healthy during the winter, winterizing your children. Now, integrative pediatrics, for those who aren't familiar with it, is a science of wellness. The emphasis is on wellness, preventing illness. So Dr. Kilbane is going to give us her take on things that we can do for our children to keep them healthy this winter. Now, as always, the advice that you're going to hear is not meant to be specific advice for any one child, but rather general in nature and informational. So let me pose the first question for Dr. Kilbane. What advice do you have for our families who are listening to keep their little ones healthy during the cold winter months?
So one of the first pieces of advice, and it's very much common sense, but I think we all need reminding, is getting plenty of sleep. I recommend that school-aged kids get at least 10 hours of sleep a night. And we know that getting proper rest allows all of your systems to function the way that they need to, which keeps us healthy. The second thing is exercise and getting outside in nature. When it gets cold outside and it gets dark a little bit earlier, I think we all have trouble getting out. And especially when it's so cold right now, we all feel like, oh, I want to be inside. But it's best to get outside and trying to do that every day or at least every other day, outside, running around, playing, getting these kids to where their heartbeat is up and they're moving around.
Yeah, I think that's very good advice, Sheila. You know, there's a physiologic process that goes on when we go out in the cold. As the weather changes and the average temperatures drop, our bodies get adjusted to that. It's called acclimatization. And that's why, you know, in the fall, when it first gets cold, we feel like we need lots and lots of clothes on to stay warm. But when the spring comes, we can go out in the same temperature. It might be 50 degrees, and you can go out in a t-shirt and be comfortable because your body has gotten used to that cold weather, and there's all these physiologic processes that happen to adapt us to colder weather, and getting outside allows that to happen. If we went right from July to January, we'd have a really tough time.
That's such a good point. And layering up at this time of the year, wearing the layers so that you're warm enough and you want to get out, and especially with the leaves, it's such a gorgeous time of the year. But we do get colder now, so just accommodating for it with your clothing.
Right, and the light, you know, I mean, let's not underestimate what light does for us. We know that people tend to have depression in the wintertime because they're not exposed to as much light. And so I think we want to try to get as much light in the winter for our kids as possible. I think that makes them psychologically healthier, which then makes them physically healthier.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well, Sheila, we're coming up to that time of year when we're going to be running from one holiday to the next, from one party to the next. Do you think this has any influence on children and their well-being and whether they're sick or not?
Yes. Another thing I always talk about is stress. And stress, when we're in a stress state, we have the hormone cortisol floating around in our system. And we know that that does not allow the immune system to work properly. And kids really are a product of what's going on in the environment. So as adults, I think it's our job to slow down and maybe say no to some of the things that we don't absolutely have to do so that we can have a little bit more family time, quiet time, time being outside, and truly keeping your immune system, keeping your body so that it's not in the stress state is going to allow your immune system to function better so that if you do come across a virus or somebody who's sick, your body's going to take care of it very easily and quickly. Whereas if you're in a stress state, you haven't gotten enough sleep, you're much more likely to get sick from that virus.
Yeah. That's the same cortisol that we give people who get new kidneys and new hearts to immunosuppress them, right? So
yes. Yep.
Your body makes some pretty powerful stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Good advice. Sheila, you know a lot about nutrition, and I know this is a big part of integrative medicine. So I want you to tell us what you've learned about nutrition as it relates to health, particularly in the cold time of the year during the winter time.
Well, I love talking about slow cooked foods, stews, soups, things where we can add onions, garlic, vegetables, different spices, you know, spices that your family likes, different things like thyme, turmeric. There are many health benefits, and it's also great for cough and congestion if you happen to get sick. So just thyme, for example, is great with cough and congestion. I will often recommend that families make a tea with that or that they sprinkle some thyme into their chicken noodle soup. Turmeric is a very good anti-inflammatory. Onions contain protein, calcium, sulfur, vitamin A, B complex, vitamin C and E. Sulfur compounds have an anti-inflammatory effect, and garlic and onions have antibacterial and antiviral effects. Potatoes, you know, parsnips, turnips, carrots, celery, all those things have really great health benefits. Carrots and celery, which are two main things that people often put in soups, carrots are a great natural source of beta carotene, which is converted to vitamin A, and that helps to fight infections and enhance the immune system. Celery has some great properties. It's high in magnesium. Magnesium is a mineral that helps your muscles relax. It helps kind of an antispasmodic property, which keeps you regular, which is also very important to your health. So eating all of these on a regular basis are a very good way to keep the whole family healthy.
Wow. All of that is out in the garden?
Absolutely.
My goodness. Well, does the whole slow cooking process, does that feed into this? Is there something special about, you said something about slow cooking. Is that different than fast cooking?
Well, a couple of things. The slow cooking just allows it, the food is a little bit softer. It's easier for your body to digest. You know, to eat a cooked carrot versus eating a raw carrot, depending on how your body processes food. But for most people, the cooked carrot is easier to process. It may be a little bit less on the nutrient, but it's still, you get a lot of the great benefits, and especially fiber. Fiber has so many health benefits. It helps to keep your blood sugar better regulated. It helps to keep your GI system regulated so that you have, you know, people should be having a bowel movement daily. And that's something I talk about with all families. It's your body's number one way of detoxifying. So making sure that we're getting these high fiber foods into kids and adults on a daily basis.
Good. What about chicken soup and vitamin C? Is there any truth to any of that?
Chicken noodle soup actually has been shown. People laugh, but they did studies on it. You know, grandmother's been telling us to eat chicken noodle soup forever, and it does have benefits with the common cold. So the thought is that it actually helps to slow down the movement of white blood cells, certain white blood cells. And in doing this, it helps to soothe the symptoms of a cold. So many of the cold symptoms are, you know, sore throat, runny nose, scratchy throat, cough. And if we can decrease the inflammation in the body, that's going to have a beneficial effect.
So there is science behind this. I mean,
yes.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Another thing I just want to add are kids who are picky eaters, juicing or blending is a really great way to get these fruits and vegetables in them. If you have a busy schedule, you can buy a frozen bag of berries, of apples, of peaches, and you just add maybe a little bit of a good high-quality yogurt. You put some frozen berries in there. Even a little bit of spinach you can get in there. And that is a really good thing. Kids will usually drink those, and you pack that with vitamins and minerals.
Don't they call those smoothies?
Yes.
My kids absolutely adore smoothies. My wife does exactly what you said. She didn't put spinach in there, but my kids ate those almost every day of their childhood.
Yes, it's absolutely. I make those for myself, but when I'm with my dad, he still makes me those.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Smart man.
Yes.
Well, Sheila, you didn't mention fish. You always mention fish. It's important for our health. So what does the research say about fish and shellfish consumption relative to our health?
Well, you know this is one of my favorite topics. The omega-3 fatty acids, which are fish oil, the virtues of fish oil are plenty. And most of us are aware that it's an anti-inflammatory benefit. And it benefits the heart, the brain, the nervous system, the immune system. And the basics are eating fish 2 to 3 times per week of cold water fish like salmon, tuna, mackerel is the best. And if you don't do that or if your kids don't like fish, you could always do a good high quality pharmaceutical grade fish oil. And you're going to get these benefits. And once again, it's those anti-inflammatory properties that keep the system working and allow the immune system to do its job when it comes into contact with the virus or a bacteria.
Well, if a child won't eat fish, which fish oils do you recommend? What brands do you like?
The main brands I like are Carlson's, Nordic Naturals, or Barlean's. And if the child is very picky, Barlean's is the best tasting of all those. And all of those come in liquids.
Good. Sheila, let's go on to another subject, hand hygiene. You know, the Center for Disease Control made a really big deal during the swine flu outbreak of teaching children to do elbow coughing instead of hand coughing like our mothers taught us. Do you have any opinion about this? Do you think this is important?
I do, very much so. Good regular hand washing with soap and water is one of the number one ways to prevent spread of infection. And I want families to keep in mind that the antibacterial soap is no more effective at killing germs than regular soap. In fact, the antibacterial soap may even lead to the development of bacteria that are resistant to the products and antimicrobial agents, making it more difficult ultimately to kill these germs in the future. So just a plain soap and water. And I personally like Dove soap because it's got a little bit of a moisturizer in it and it's not as drying as certain soaps like Ivory or somehow Irish Spring soap comes up a lot, but Dove is just a nice, mild, easy soap.
Good. And what's the most important time for kids to teach kids to wash their hands?
The most important time before eating.
Right. And after bathroom.
And after going to the bathroom.
Right, but particularly before eating. And, I'm not sure the schools do such a great job in.
And it's interesting because daycares, I'm amazed to watch. They get the 2 and 3-year-olds to line up and wash their hands beautifully before they eat. And then I think we get into grade school and we don't have that organized, concerted effort.
Yeah, I agree. Sheila, I see people reaching in their pocketbooks all the time for those alcohol gels. They are obsessed by these with their kids. What do you think about those? Are they good? Are they bad? Do they help?
They definitely are helpful. They do what we want them to do, but I really think soap and water is much better if it's available. I've had several kids who have gotten hand issues, real dry, cracking skin, because they use those a little bit too often, and it's just hard on the skin. Yeah. Just remember that we have bacteria on our skin that we need, and sometimes those will kill more than what they need to.
Yeah, I think they're a last resort. I think they're not first choice. CDC likes them, though. They think that they are effective. So I think there is some evidence that they do kill germs and probably keep kids from getting viral infections.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sheila, let me tell you about a study that I read about recently. You probably saw it as well. It came out in the last year. It was a group in Japan that studied children, and they divided the children into two groups. One, they gave a vitamin D supplement, D as in dog, and the other they didn't. And they looked at the rate of influenza, specifically influenza A, which is the most common flu in the winter, with these children, and found a dramatic reduction, a 40% reduction in the rate of infection, symptomatic infection with influenza A in the children who took vitamin D relative to those that didn't. That's amazing. That's as effective as a flu shot. So maybe the combination of vitamin D and a flu shot would do even better. Did you see that study?
I did, and I talk about that often with families, because as the sun has a different angle to the earth and to Charlotte in particular, we could be outside all day long on our rooftop and we wouldn't synthesize the amount of vitamin D that we need per day. So it's important in the wintertime to get to continue that supplement, but always stop it in the summertime because we get that wonderful vitamin D from the sunlight.
Yeah, but what about the milk? You know, our mothers told us that we were going to get enough vitamin D if we drank our milk. Is that true?
It takes a liter of milk a day to get 400 IUs of vitamin D, and I don't recommend anyone drink that much milk per day.
Yeah. How about fish? Are fish a source of vitamin D? I've heard that they are.
Absolutely. So the fatty cold water fish, again, salmon, tuna, mackerel, they contain vitamin D, but in our culture, just those foods aren't weekly staples.
Yeah. I think maybe that's going to change, but I think you're right. Well, Sheila, I know one of your favorite topics is about probiotics. And I think you've taught me that probiotics and the bacteria in our gut are very important to our immune function. So this is probably particularly important for children when they're stressed with infections during the winter. Is that right?
It is, and probiotics are one of my favorite things to talk about, right next to fish oil. So a good deal of our immune system happens in our gut, and taking a multi-species probiotic all winter long can keep our gut health optimized. And this is what helps our body stay healthy and fight infection. So if we get exposed to a virus or a bacteria, I know I keep saying this, but if our body is optimized in its health and our gut is optimized, we're going to deal with it very quickly and easily and not necessarily get sick from that virus. There was a great study done in Israel several years ago where they broke kids into three different groups, and two of the groups were supplemented with probiotics. The control group was not. The results were as follows. The kids in the supplemented group had fewer days missed of daycare, fewer illnesses such as colds and stomach bugs, and fewer doctor visits and fewer antibiotic prescriptions used. That, to me, is a really very good indicator of an easy thing that we can do all winter long to keep these kids healthy. Good probiotics are usually found in the refrigerated sections of health food stores, sometimes drug stores, and they contain bacterial strains such as Lactobacillus and Bifidobacterium. A couple of my favorite, Nature's Way makes a Premodophilus children's chewable or a children's powder. Lactobacillus reduces antibiotic-associated diarrhea as well as rotavirus and bifidobacterium. And this brand of that is Culturelle. That's a Lactobacillus GG. And Culturelle actually is found in many pharmacies, and you can also get it in Walmart these days.
There's a kid's version of that, right? A packet version?
There is. I often will use the adult version, however, for kids because I want to get a higher species count. There are only 3 billion per packet in the kids, and there's 10 billion per capsule in the adult version. So I'll have the families open up the capsule and mix it with, you know, soft food or applesauce, something like that.
So eating yogurt, that's not good enough? Is there not enough bacteria in yogurt?
Not enough bacteria. And it's, you know, from the time that that yogurt is put into the container, put on a truck, shipped to the store, and makes it to our mouth, it's not clear in my mind how much of the bacteria is actually left in the yogurt.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, so now is the time in our talk that we're going to sum things up, Sheila. And what I'm getting from your information that you presented today is the feeling that there really are germs that can make our kids sick everywhere. And we probably, all kids touch these germs. And your child is much less likely to come down with a sickness if they do the things that we're talking about. Good, fresh air, get enough sleep, get as much light during the wintertime as possible. You talked about the benefits of a whole food diet with slow cooking, rich in fruits, vegetables, and fish. And then let's not forget probiotics, how important those are in terms of building up a child's immune function, as well as a vitamin D supplement. All these things can improve immune function, and therefore your child may touch a germ but may not be the one that gets sick. Does that sound right?
Yes. And always remember, we should all be getting a flu shot. Good hand hygiene, along with teaching the kids how to do the elbow cough, all of those have great benefits for the individual child as well as for everyone around them.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Well, you have packed a lot of stuff in here, Sheila. Thank you so much. You always bring great information to the listeners. I'm sure our audience really appreciates you spending your time with us and sharing your expertise. I hope we can get you back soon.
Oh, of course. I love doing these podcasts.
Great. Thank you very much.
I want to thank the following people for help with the production of this podcast: David, Golden Voice Jaffe, for his intro voiceover. Seth Jaffe, the Rocket Man Barrister, for his inspirational guidance. Wendy Smolin, chief of our talented legal staff. Sarah, the Wizard Smolin, for her digital editing and photography. And Robert Beezer, Ben Smolin, and Jerome Moof for producing this beautiful intro and outro music you are listening to. Thanks, guys.
By listening to this podcast, you agree to all of the terms and conditions found at the DocSmo.com website. This DocSmo.com podcast is informational only. Dr. Smolin does not diagnose, treat, or offer specific medical advice for your child. For specific medical advice regarding your child, consult his or her healthcare provider.